Today on Real Radio.
Repent is the first word of the gospel. You cannot be saved without repentance. And you might say, well, I don't like to hear that word. It's too old-fashioned. It's too negative. The word repent means to change the way you've been thinking. That's all it means. Change the way you're thinking. You've been thinking this way. Now the Bible says start thinking this way.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called To the Unknown God, continues a series now called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey included preaching the gospel throughout the Gentile world, and their passion, of course, was for all to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In the message called What to Expect When You Share Jesus from Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15, we learned that Paul and Silas were quickly escorted out of Thessalonica after the Jewish leaders rejected Christ and stirred up a mob against them. Now in verses 16 through 34, we'll find Paul alone traveling across Athens, Greece. He boldly walked into synagogues trying to convince the Jewish leaders to follow Christ. He also spoke to the Gentiles who worshipped many idols in Athens, which provoked his anger because of their ignorance. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that thinking there are no absolutes in life is a dangerous way to live. The people of Athens were very sincere about worshiping their many gods, so Paul gently points out that sincerity is not an indicator of the truth. He also tells them that there is only one God, and that God is available to all, and the Savior for all. And now, continuing his lesson called To the Unknown God, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Sincerity has nothing to do with getting to heaven. You can be so sincere and be absolutely sincerely wrong. Do you know that? See, the Athenians believed in all these gods, but what happens if a god shows up to town that we have forgotten? We don't want to offend the gods. So let's build an altar that says to the unknown god, so that when he pulls into town, he sees the Kiwanis sign approaching town, and he sees the population sign and the elevation sign, and, oh, where's my name? Where's my altar? And then this one right there says, to the unknown god, that's for you. That's what they believed. These guys were educated. Athens was the MIT, the Caltech, of the known world at that time. Aristotle came from there. Socrates came from there. Remember that. They're thinkers. But they had this going on. So Paul says, I want to tell you about the unknown God that you have. And in fact, he says that you are ignorantly or not knowing, you are worshiping. Now, Paul is being very kind and generous with his words here. Now, look at this. And this is point one, and we'll go through them as quickly as we can. The first point is, Paul is going to differentiate his God, the God of the Bible, your God, from all the little pagan gods of the world. Number one, in verses 24 and 25, God is the creator. And this is fun. Paul opens up, verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it. You ought to underline that. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. First statement would have caused a normal Athenian to go bananas. My God is over all your little gods. And he doesn't dwell in temples. Oh man, these guys worship temples. You could hear the hammer stop for a minute. Excuse me? What did you just say? This is Joe's temple building service. The God I'm telling you about is over everything else. And he doesn't live in temples. Well, who wants that kind of God? That's bad for business. You see, all of a sudden, you can't put this God in a box. Why? He's creator of everything. He's Lord over heaven and earth. He is creator. It's interesting that the entire Bible opens up with the argument, in the beginning, God designed, created, manufactured, put forth the heavens and the earth. He's the designer. If you have a hard time with that, read it this way. In the beginning, God engineered the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. You look out into space. I'm so grateful for the Hubble telescope. It's got God written all over the data that's coming back. I hope we send up something new, something more advanced. Bring it on, science. Send it up, and it comes back saying everything's younger than what we first believed, and everything's extremely more ordered than we believed, and everything looks like God made it, which we don't want to believe. John 1:1, in the beginning, that is of creation, was the Word. And you read on, and the Word was Jesus Christ. John 1:14. Hebrews 1:10, you, O Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. That's how you open up an argument to your friends and witnessing to them. Paul is assuming that nature speaks about the existence of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 22 warns us that if we do not think and understand that it is God who created the worlds, that our hearts become darkened and we become foolish. So much so, he says that we'll come to a point in time that we will profess to be wise, but in reality, we've become fools in Romans 1:22. And then finally this, in Psalm 14:1, the Bible says, the fool, the word is empty-headed person, has said in his heart, there's no God. That's serious, people. Charles Darwin flunked out of seminary, Baptist seminary, rejecting God. And the Bible says in Romans 1:18 that you can be given over to a mind that is darkened and devoid of God. So man who struggles with his existence comes up with the next best thing. I'll create my own world. And what happens is man generates foreign religions. One popular one today, but it's losing its steam, is the one called evolution. It's a belief process. It's a religion. It is not scientific. The scientific laws, which are absolute, are speaking and testify against the theory of evolution. And that's scientific. Verse 25. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. I want to touch on this for a moment because it angers me so much. Look what it says. Am I reading this right? Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Does your Bible say that? Then why did I turn on my TV and catch a guy on Christian TV telling us that if you don't send in your money, the program's going to fold and God's work's going to stop? I have a hard time with that. And I got to watch out. I don't get in the flesh right now and blow this whole day. But let me say it. God needs nothing from you and me. An idol does. An idol, you got to dust it off, don't you? Why can't it dust itself off? It's a god, isn't it? And when you knock it over and it falls into a million pieces, why doesn't it put itself back together again? No, it's a Humpty Dumpty. That's the problem. It's an idol. Your God needs nothing from you. Your God allows you to participate in what he's doing, but he needs nothing from you. If there comes a day that God is portrayed and believed as in needing something from you, then we all ought to give up. Well, how are we going to do it? We is the wrong terminology. How's he going to do it? Paul says, listen, the God I'm talking to you about, he is creator over everything, and he doesn't need your help. He doesn't live in temples. He needs nothing from you. And the Athenians believed that their gods needed them. But our God, listen carefully, Jesus lived this out in front of us. Our God serves us. Can you believe that? Jesus said, I have served you. Now you serve one another. But idols need you to pamper them. And Paul speaks of the Creator. Verses 26 to 29, second point. He is king over all, and I love this. Verse 26, and he has made from one blood, or one people, one person. Some of your Bibles might even have, and he has made from Adam, which is correct, every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. I don't want to belabor this, but what is science telling us right now, in the journals now? That technology has brought us to the place of finding out that we have all come from one woman. Have you heard this? They have done hematological studies with DNA. And they have found out that every one of us have come from a woman. One woman. My Bible calls her Eve. One woman. They can trace all of our blood back to one source. That's amazing. It's biblical. It's right here in the scriptures. Not only that, not only is man's origin, Paul is saying, from God. Can you imagine what these are? They're sitting there going, wait a minute. This guy's talking about a big God. It's a big God theory. He makes all of our gods look like a bunch of little knuckleheads. And look what it says. This gives me comfort. There are pre-appointed times and boundaries, verse 26, of their habitation. Appointed who? The nations. Because God in his Bible puts people into positions and he uses them, like Nebuchadnezzar, to judge Israel. He'll put a wicked king into office. Why? Because the people have wanted it in a roundabout way. The king he brings into office, he allows it to be so because the people will not listen to God, and then Israel will be judged. Then once they're bleeding and crying and upset and vacant of their lands and family, they look up and they say, God, how did this happen? He said, well, you forgot me. You left me about 30 years ago, back in the 60s. You put me off. And now judgment comes. It's a cycle. It's the way it works. The Bible says that a nation that has God as their king dwells in peace. He is king over everything. Well, Jack, that means we shouldn't vote then. Wrong. Romans 13 tells us the powers that be have been ordained by God. You've been given the right to vote. That means you're supposed to go vote. Well, I'm not going to vote. I'm just going to let God do his thing. God does his thing through us, or he'll do his thing without us. But wouldn't you want to be included in God's work? We cannot sit idle. Why does God do this? Why does God intervene in nations and peoples? Look at verse 27. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him. Interesting word, grope. Only found here in the New Testament. It's a kind of a pagan term. Remember, the Bible says it's by faith that we walk. Well, this is the word feeling. Paul is reaching out to the Epicurean. He's using their jargon. You know what? God has done all of this stuff so you Athenians right here, right now, you Stoics and you Epicureans might feel for God. And they, oh, yeah, I can, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, wow, okay. Feel, yeah. And find him, though he is not far from each one of us. This is the doctrine of the omnipresence of God. This is fun. Jot these scriptures down because they're, if you don't get this in your heart, you're going to go nuts. The Bible, Jesus taught, Matthew 6, 9. Jesus said, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father who art in heaven. Where is he? He's in heaven. Jesus said, when you pray, pray, our Father who's in heaven. The Father is God. No problem with that. But Paul says he's very near us all. Well, I thought he was in heaven. Well, he is. But he's very near us all. Wait a minute. God, in his omnipresence, which is an attribute of his, he's not an idol. He's everywhere at one time. Listen to this. Psalm 139:7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? The answer is I can't go anywhere. Well, listen. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says that your body, if you're a believer in Christ this morning, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. God is in heaven. God the Holy Spirit is inside you if you're a believer. And that seems absolutely insane. Aren't you glad that you cannot figure your God out? You know, the God of Mormonism, you can figure him out. He used to be a man just like us. And he's been exalted. Well, the God of the Jehovah Witnesses, you can figure him out. They know all about him. You know, our God of the Bible, you can't figure him out. He's beyond you figuring him out. That's the kind of God I want. Big. Able. strong, who not only inhabits eternity, he lives in my heart. Isn't that weird? I got this yellow shirt on, green pants, this skin that's dying and getting older. Yet inside me, as the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that radical? But he's in heaven. That's right. And he's in you. That's right. Amazing. Personal God. He's transcendent, but he's also personal. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Jesus Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form." That's amazing. It's wonderful. Verse 28, "For in him we live and we move and we have our being. As also some of the prophets have said, for we are also his offspring." We have our existence and we owe it to God. John 1:9 says basically that we've been loaned a life and God is going to account on a day for us to give it back to him. Third point, we need to move quickly. Third point is found in verse 30. He's known as the Savior of all. Look what Paul does here. I guess we should read verse 29. "Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature, deity," by the way, he's telling them it's supreme deity, "is like," and he must have pointed to some idols that were nearby, gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art or by man's devices. Verse 30, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked." People, maybe you've never heard the gospel today. God says, "The times of your ignorance I've overlooked. Let's not talk about the past," God says. "Jesus Christ died on the cross, came as God's Son, rose from the dead for your justification. He's God eternally. He's coming back to judge in righteousness." The Bible says you and I are perishing without Christ in our lives. We need him. It's called salvation. It's called being saved. It's called redemption. Paul says he's going to overlook your times of ignorance, but now, and it is a word in the Greek, right now, at this moment, what is demanded of you who's hearing this message is that you, number one, repent. Look at the word right there. Repent. Repent is the first word of the gospel. You cannot be saved without repentance. And you might say, "Well, I don't like to hear that word. It's too old-fashioned. It's too negative." There's a guy on TV. I won't mention his name. He has a big glass church not far from here. And you can get this quote from the CRI, from Christian Research Institute. He said, "I will never mention the word repent because it's not positive." Let me tell you something. If that's the only way you can get to heaven, the Bible says, "Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The word repent means to change the way you've been thinking. That's all it means. Change the way you're thinking. You've been thinking this way. Now the Bible says, start thinking this way. And what I'm going to tell you does not cause churches to grow. I'll tell you that right now. If you have not repented, you're not getting into the kingdom. If you're not repentful toward God, then you are religious. And you're no different than a Stoic or an Epicurean. You're lost. You can carry a Bible. But if you haven't repented and come to Christ, trust in him for salvation, then you're not going to make it. Paul says, repent. May God give us the boldness to give people the first word of the gospel. It means to choose now and choose a new course. He says, repent. Why? Verse 31 says, and this is the final point. Not only is he Savior, that's number three. Not only is he King over all, that's number two. Not only is he Creator of all, that's number one. But the bottom line is that he's going to judge everything and everybody. The fourth point, verse 31, listen to this. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. Jesus said in John 16 that the Holy Spirit is coming to judge the world. He says, first of all, the Spirit will come to convict. You may be thinking right now, man, I need to change my life. That's the Holy Spirit saying to you, you need Christ. That's conviction. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin. Secondly, he says, and of righteousness. That is, God is righteous and you're not. And then third, of judgment, Jesus said. And that means there's a final end. And this is not popular. Jesus said in John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life. It's something you have now. And shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. And most assuredly I say to you that the hour is coming now and is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who will hear will live. And as the Father has life in himself, so has he given authority to the Son to execute judgment because he is in the Son. Listen, do not marvel at this, Jesus said, John 5:28. Do not marvel at this. Don't be shocked. Jesus said, for the hour is coming in which all those who are in the graves, I buried somebody on Friday, well, I told them that it's very temporary. There's coming a day where the Bible says, Jesus says right here in John 5, there is coming a day when all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have, and it says done good, but the word, really, you need to believe in Christ, trust him. Those who have believed in Christ to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil, that is not believed in him, to the resurrection of the damned. People, there's a heaven and there's a hell. And you have a choice this morning with the Athenians to put your finger in your ears and run out and say, this is not positive, this does not bring me pleasure, I will not deal with this. Or you say, my goodness, I haven't accepted Jesus Christ personally, I need him and I'm going to receive him now. That's what needs to happen in our lives. And then finally, wrapping this up, verses 32. And when they heard this, that the resurrection of the dead and all, look what they did. Three responses. Some of them mocked. What a jerk. What a stupid thing. That doesn't make sense. Who needs this? While others said, well, you know what? We'll hear you again about this. We'll put it off. We'll think about it. Well, look at verse 34. However, some men joined him and believed. Among them were Diosthenes. And look at the gal, the woman down there, Demarius. We don't know anything about Demarius, but we know something about Diosthenes, whatever his name is. We know something of him. Church history tells us that he was a senator in Athens. He gave his heart to Christ. Church history says that he was the first pastor and martyr of the Christian work in Athens. And some historians say that he taught his fellowship on Sundays at the Parthenon. Not a bad sanctuary. There wasn't droves of people accepting Christ at Paul's message, but there was an important man and a notable woman in the group. And God used it. Jesus Christ is Creator God. There's no doubt. He's King. No doubt about it. He's Savior and he's Judge. And where are you with Jesus Christ this morning?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a message called To the Unknown God. Thanks for listening. And you can know the unknown God today. Jesus said that to know him is to find peace and heaven's assurance of everlasting life. To the Unknown God is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You can access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs simply by going to YouTube or when you go to our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's Real Life with jackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.